want to welcome everyone today. We have another full capacity audience. Also want to welcome our international attendees. Over the next 20 or 30 minutes, we'll be covering a lot of ground, which include actionable items that you can start to use in your organization and implement immediately. So please be ready to take lots of notes. Our meeting is being recorded today, so you'll have the opportunity to listen to our conversation again and to share the ideas with others. Our topic for today is part of our Cracking the Personality Code series, Raising the Safety Bar Through Enhancing Your Interpersonal Communications. Before we start, just a couple of housekeeping items. Number one, our session has been placed in lecture mode, so your phones have been muted, and if you have background noise, it won't be picked up on your line, so no worries there. Number two, today's conference will not be an open forum due to the number of individuals we have on the line. So if you have questions during our time together today, please email them to Dana, D-A-N-A, at lighthouseconsulting.com. That's Dana at lighthouseconsulting.com. And I'll attempt to respond to them during our time together. And if time runs out, I'll respond directly to you within 48 hours. So let's begin. A client made an interesting comment once about interpersonal communication, and you may want to write this one down. It's a keeper. Quote, "It's not what you say, it's what they heard." Isn't that amazing? It's such a powerful statement. Let me say it again. It's not what you say, it's what they heard. In the world of safety, each of you are making a major impact on the people's lives. Your message can mean the difference between someone going home with all of their limbs and their sight, and in some cases, their lives. So how you communicate and how it is heard can make a huge impact on every individual you work with, and even for those you don't know. After all, safety affects many individuals you don't spend time with in your organization. It affects family members and friends of staff members. I love this quote. "The glory of great men should always be measured by the means they have used to acquire it." So let's talk about the means you use to communicate with others. Here's a helpful exercise. Get a piece of paper, have a pen ready, and I like to call this a relationship web. So take the paper, and in the middle, dead center, draw a circle and put your initials in the middle. So draw a little circle in the middle and put your initials there. Then around the outside, because you're going to be the hub, place the initials of those you work with around the page. So in other words, you're in the middle and the others you work are placed around, so you become the center hub. Take a second. Just use initials so you're not identifying anybody's name in case they happen to see the piece of paper later on. Now, let's start to connect the dots. If you have a great relationship and communication with any one of the individuals, place a straight line between you and them. Again, you're in the middle, people are going around you. Put a straight line if you're having a great relationship. If you're having some minor ups and downs, draw a slightly wavy line between yourself in those individuals. Just a slight wavy line. If you're having a total meltdown of miscommunication, kind of a stormy relationship, draw a jagged line. Hopefully you don't have too many people that have the jagged line, though. Now, it's kind of interesting because it starts to take shape now as to how relationships are working. Straight line, kind of wavy and jagged. Take a look at it. You can start to see where your time is being used up and start to analyze the whys and the hows. Since most safety managers are very, very good at calculations, this is a starting point for calculating how to deal with the problem children. There's a couple of ingredients for dealing with others. By the way, also, when you start to see the jagged line and you start to realize, wow, this is how much time this person takes up, you can actually calculate how much it's costing to have to deal with that individual. And usually those are the ones that are the safety hazards. So now they're a risk. There's a couple of key ingredients for dealing with others. Number one, know your participants. Know who you're dealing with. Number two, empathy. I don't mean the touchy-feely type of empathy. Rather, understanding the different points of view of where people are coming from. So here's an example. If someone needs a step-by-step process for doing a task, and a manager is getting frustrated because they want them just to jump and just do it, that can be very frustrating for both parties, since the step-by-step person needs the process and probably won't move forward because they're concerned about doing it wrong and getting yelled at. Or they might cost the company money and then get into trouble. That's empathy. It's also called management. Know thy people. It's interesting, when we step back and start to see and ask the question, why are people doing what they're doing? It's not just because they want to be problematic. They actually have a reason for doing it. It's kind of interesting also, if you take two pictures of a bridge, and when we do team building exercises, we have this great picture, and it's two bridges that aren't connected, and individuals are on the end of each bridge. They're both trying to get to the other side. They just have different ways of doing it. Number three, vision. Know where you want the individual to go. If you don't know, how will they know? Let's do one more exercise in analyzing the problem child or the individuals who have the jagged line just a little bit further. And before we do that, I want to welcome those of you just joining us today. We're just about to do a communications exercise, so please pull out a piece of paper and a pen. And for those of you who have questions about our topic today, cracking the personality code, raising the safety bar through better interpersonal communications, please drop an email to Dana, D-A-N-A, at lighthouseconsulting.com. So I'm going to ask you five questions. And take a moment and write just a short sentence in response to each question. So number one. Oh, by the way, you can use these questions with your staff also and sharing this process with your management team, such as going through the relationship web. So here are the questions, and I'm going to repeat them too. I'll go real slow. Number one, what's an area of your interpersonal communication that is not working as well as you'd like it to with the problem child, jagged edge? So such as, you can keep it real short, such as they just don't listen. Or they don't follow the rules. So number two, give a specific example. This is a short sentence. Again, I'll repeat these again. So give a specific example. Number three, what would an ideal outcome look like? What would an ideal outcome look like? Number four, what are you doing that is not working? What are you doing that is not working? Number five, what are you doing that is working? Think of just one time you actually communicated effectively with the problem child. So let me repeat these again, because this is a great exercise to use with your team. So number one, what is an area of your interpersonal communication that is not working as well as you'd like it to with the problem child? And just a brief description, like they just don't listen or they don't follow the rules. Number two, give a specific example. Something real short. Number three, what would an ideal outcome look like? Number four, what are you doing that is not working? And number five, what are you doing that is working? And think of a time when you actually did communicate with the individual. It's interesting, when these things are broken down, again, you can start to create a plan of how to best communicate proactively with the individual. Until things are broken down, it tends to just be in the head, and then everyone just gets frustrated. So it's kind of interesting to walk through that. If your organizations do any kind of in-depth personality or work style assessment, it's always helpful to take a look at the data so you can start to understand or empathize with how someone is thinking or approaching things. If your company does not do work style assessments or personality assessments, I would encourage you to talk to your management team about incorporating some type of assessment process during the hiring process so the information can be used in managing individuals And that translates into understanding how to best communicate once they come aboard. You can also use the information for your current team, which can truly affect the bottom line. Think of what miscommunication costs in lives, in injuries, and right to the bottom line. An in-depth personality and work style assessment will help in understanding how someone problem solves, how do they deal with stress, their thought flow, how they actually think. You can literally see how someone processes information and share ideas with others in a way that they're going to get it, along with many other facets of understanding how someone communicates. If you want to talk further about this, just drop me an email or give me a call. There are typically four styles of miscommunication. Think of which category your jagged edge person falls into. First one, avoiding or runs away from the issue. They just don't want to talk about it. They ignore it. Number two, pretends a conflict doesn't exist. They kind of bury their head in the sand. Number three, gives in or goes along with the other person. And number four, unfortunately, this is the one that most people say, this is what they do. They attack or try to win through force or power, through criticism, insults, manipulation, or name-calling. And you take a look at any of those four, you start to say, that's what's going on. Now, if someone is burying their head in the sand, let me give you a quick story on this, kind of interesting. I went to a lecture once, and they used the example of an ostrich putting his head in the sand and ignoring whatever things were going on around them. And I started to think about that. It didn't make much sense. So I called up the Los Angeles zookeeper for the ostriches. And they made an interesting comment. They said, that's absolutely not true. That ostriches were perceived by the settlers when they saw them at a distance that they were burying their head in the sand. In actuality, that would put an animal in clear and present danger. What they're doing is they're resting their head on the ground, which helps them to amplify the sound and vibrations so they can be aware of what's going on around them. So in actuality, they're outstanding listeners. So I think we all want to be more like an ostrich. Now that you have a good idea of who you're dealing with, I'm going to share some ground rules for effective one-to-one communication, especially when dealing with a heated or recurrent issue. So number one, have respect for the other person even though you don't agree. Number two, don't take the conflict personally. Number three, be a good listener. Be an ostrich. This can be tough. You may want to just be directive since you know what needs to get done. This won't help in the long run. You need to listen. Listening should take place around 80% of the time when in a discussion with someone, and only 20% of talking. Remember that empathy, or the concept, is really trying to listen as to where they're coming from, avoiding interruption, and asking questions only when they are finished speaking. Interruptions can be interpreted as being disrespectful. Then you have a whole other set of issues going on when disrespect enters in. You also want to watch body language. The most important thing in communication is to hear what isn't being said. And we have a number of questions coming in. One of them is by Debbie, and a couple of you are asking the same question, so I'm just going to pull Debbie's out. If you're in a conversation and you sense that you're not understanding what is being said, what are some suggestions for improving the communication flow? Good question, and thank you also, all of you, for asking something similar. Here's a thought. In order to assure you are truly understanding what someone is attempting to communicate, use active listening. Paraphrase what you think the other person is stating and ask them if that's correct. It gives them an opportunity to participate. If it's not, have them restate it and then paraphrase again to make sure that you've got it right. And here's some key ideas or points that you can use. Use I statements when you're discussing the topic, such as, I feel it is not constructive when you speak to me in that manner because it feels like you're being disrespectful to me. Another idea is state your feelings clearly without attacking the other person. You're setting the pacing for the other individuals in your organization. How you respond, how you deal with an issue, is how others are going to treat others then. Focus on the problem, not the person, and look for some common ground, a shared need you both want or you agree on. And again, look for any hidden agendas. Is there something bothering the other person that might be feeding into the problem? I'm going to take one more question here by Andre. If in conversation you sense the other person is becoming agitated or distraught, what are some things that you can do or say to keep the conversation balanced and professional so it doesn't get out of hand? My suggestion is you take a timeout to keep conflicts from escalating. And I don't mean a 10-minute timeout. You need to take several hours or maybe the next day unless it's life-threatening. So the way this works is, let's say it's getting a little bit heated and you go, you know what, we need to address this, but why don't we just take a little bit of time to think about this, and let's say it's 10 in the morning. Do you have time to meet at 4 this afternoon or 5, or maybe 9 or 10 the next day or 8 in the morning, whatever you'd like? But make sure you have a specific time so they don't feel that you're ignoring them and that the issue is being addressed. Once you've talked it through and truly heard them out, then you can move into problem solving. Here's a warning, though. If you jump to problem solving and haven't heard the person out and you haven't truly listened to them, the issue will keep coming up over and over and over again. Problem solving should be fairly simple if you've listened well and if the other person feels heard. Now, I have to say that sometimes gender does get into this because sometimes guys like to pull out the toolbox. It can happen with females too, but guys like to pull the toolbox out and just start to fix it. That will not help anything because you're not helping them to solve the issue or to participate in it. Once you've listened, there's a structure to use in order to take some proactive steps and measure to it and have them participate. So here's what you do. Number one, you set an agenda together based on the topics that you've heard and they've heard. Define the top 3 to 5 items that you both want to focus on. Don't try to solve the world's problems all at one time. If you do a couple of them, usually the other items will take care of themselves. Number two, you want to brainstorm. So first, again, you have the agenda. You take a couple of the top items and you start to break those down. Then you brainstorm of how you want to solve those. Write any idea down that comes to mind. Please, please, please don't say but when the other person is contributing ideas during brainstorming. Otherwise, you will become the but. I mean the but with 2 T's. This is just brainstorming. So no idea is a bad idea at this point. Encourage being creative because they may have ideas that you never even thought of. Number three, sort through the ideas and pick several or rank them to which ones look most promising. Now, you both want to participate in this ranking of the ideas. Number four, once you select a couple of ideas, then ask the following questions. Now, these are key because it gets to help them to learn how to mentor other people, and it gets them to start to think outside of their box as to what they perceive it should look like or the solution, and start to think outside of themselves. So here they are. Number one, what will happen if we do these things? Remember, you just have a couple of things you've agreed upon. Number two, how will this impact others? Because some people are just very focused, and they're not thinking how it will impact others. They're just in their own world. Number three, will everyone get what they want if we proceed with this? Isn't that cool? What will happen if they do this? How will it impact others? And will everyone get what they want? Come to a conclusion to try them out and then set up a follow-up date. It is vital to set a date to check in to see how things are going. If this step isn't taken, the task will either not be done, or if it doesn't work, you'll be upset along with others. And you want this to be a win-win scenario. It might be end of the week, it might be a couple days, it might be 2 weeks, it might be 3 weeks, but there has to be a specific time that you all agree on when you're going to meet and sit down to see if this thing's working or not, or to tweak it some more. What is the most important thing is that you are teaching someone else how to constructively deal with the situation and to come up with a solution. As time goes on, solutions change. So can interpersonal communications. And the goal is to allow respect, to allow for ideas to be shared, and to mentor others in order to communicate and to create a safe work environment. Before we close, we like to keep our telecommunication workshops to just between 20 and 30 minutes, so they're proactive. You can start utilizing the ideas without burning up a lot of time. So before we close, I'd like to thank each of you for joining us today, and would love to hear from you regarding other topics that would be of interest to you and your team. If you'd like to get a free audio copy of today's teleconference, please email me at dana@lighthouseconsulting.com, and please feel free to share the audio copy with others in your organization and or different associations you are affiliated with and with friends. If you are in an association and would like us to present this topic or others, please drop me a note or give me a call at area code 310-453-6556, extension 403. That's area code 310-453-6556, extension 403. I'd like to close with a quote from John Marshall of DeFosco Steel. Quote, "So many people spend so much energy on things that are beyond their control. It's human nature. But I constantly ask people anytime something comes up, what do you have control over? What don't you have control over? What can you influence? Or who can you go to that has some influence? You now have the tools to raise the safety bar for better intercommunications. I want to thank you again for joining our series, Cracking the Personality Code. Have a wonderful day. I look forward to hearing from you soon. Take care. Bye-bye."